Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kawhi came back out of nowhere, and now he's gone.
Yeah.
Kawhi came back, played 36 minutes. No minutes restriction.
Just gonna out come. There.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear. Lawrence Frank is out here talking. It's pretty clear he's not. They don't expect him back anytime soon.
Nah, so that's that.
And even if he said he was coming back, be like, bro, you sure? You sure? Because.
No, sir.
Oh, that's so funny. My alarm just went off to remind me.
Yeah, you know what time it is.
To give out the key word for $500, which ended on Friday.
Oh.
That's over.
Oh, I thought we were doing 2 weeks.
No. I think we did 2 weeks. I think we've already done them.
Okay, you're right.
I was like, why is the alarm going off? Oh, 3 o'clock. Time to remind you that we gave you $500 last week. James is on his way in, by the way. He'll be here shortly.
Oh, nice. I bet James would be completely against my even considering Bradley Beal.
I'm absolutely certain.
Once again, I want to reiterate, there are guys that I would try to track down before Bradley Beal, at least like five of them. But
who does James own again? Who was our Lord and Savior?
Mason Plumlee.
Mason Plumlee. That's who it was. I forgot. Mason Plumlee.
But my whole thing is John Lynch. I'm not hanging up the phone on anything. And especially when you talk about Bradley Beal, the money and the injury concern outweighs the other stuff. But the other stuff is because Phoenix is in such a bad situation, they got to get rid of it. I think they're paying like $150 million to just KD – mm-hmm. Book and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
They got no picks, no control over their picks.
Yeah.
Like they could possibly take a deal where it's like, hey, we got to contractually make the deal work and just give us a pick so we can do something in the next couple of years. And you could have Bradley Beal. And I mean, I think you got to at least think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan approach is 100%. Answer the phone. Answer the phone. I'm trying to figure out how to word this question. Does the big three work?
The right big three.
Like, is Rudy, Ant-Man, and Carl Anthony Towns, is that a big three?
Some would say it is. I don't think so.
I don't think it is either.
I saw something last night that just, once again, Rudy is really good, but not to go all Draymond on you.
Oh, did you see his dumbass tweet last night? He said, shout out Chris Finch, man. That was absolutely awful what happened to him last night.
Wow.
Unless, of course, you're Draymond Green, where it's like, hey, coach, gut it out. There's only a minute 40 left.
Come on, man. What are we talking about? What are we talking about here? That guy.
Your boy.
But I will say this. Rudy Gobert, he did get subbed out in that game last night for defensive purposes. Like, to me, the defensive player of the year should not be getting subbed out because of defense. Not saying that he's going to be a defensive player of the year, but like, that almost disqualifies you as a candidate.
That's not fair.
Why?
It's because you're talking about a game.
I've seen it multiple times in his career.
Have you seen it multiple times this season?
I haven't watched every Timberwolves game.
We'll see that.
But I've seen it in the biggest moments.
I don't think it's fair to disqualify him from one. I don't think it's okay. So multiple things here, and I guess I'm like a Rudy Gobert apologist.
Oh,
now.
That's your boy.
Well, I'm fine with that. I think he's a solid. I think it is fascinating why everyone hates him. You know, his 2020 behavior notwithstanding, it is fascinating that everyone hates him. But he's a really good ball player. I think he is a great defender. Sure, he probably has shortcomings, but I think it's a bit unfair to say he can't win the defensive player of the year award because how can
you be the best defender in the league when there's times when the team is like, we'd be better off with you not on the floor because of defense?
But okay, so who's better? That's the comp that like isn't
people
that
people who don't get played off the floor. I guess you could say that's a prerequisite.
If there's a matchup that is ill-advised for Chris Finch and the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you take him out of the lineup, that negates everything else that he does?
To a certain degree. What defensive players of the year have we seen like that?
Well, Rudy Gobert comes to mind. Well, Draymond Green comes to mind.
Draymond always plays, though. Draymond's never
played.
Oh,
that's right. You're right. Steve Kerr leaves him out there. And then you know what happens when they put him on the bench?
Well, that's because he's negative.
We'll finish
the offensive end.
They win the championship.
He's just a negative on the offensive end. He's just an embarrassment sometimes, and especially in that series.
He's an embarrassment
on the offensive
all the
end.
Time.
Well, I'm not going to argue that. That ain't my
daily point. Draymond Green hate brought to you by the Kings Beat. Become a premium subscriber at thekingsbeat.com.
But Draymond would get subbed out because he was a negative on the offensive end. Draymond never got subbed out because he was a negative on defense. This is to me, from my thoughts, and the game has changed a little bit, so maybe things would be different for certain players back then who were defensive players compared to today. But Rudy, this is the only time I've ever seen a defensive player of the year get subbed out for defense.
I'm with you. Yeah, and it's all the time. I mean, he gets played off the floor
all the time.
It happens many times in Utah.
In the playoffs,
when they played Dallas, they ran him off the court.
Well, I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, even the other night, didn't he have like 25, 26 minutes played? I mean, again, if you're the starting center, you're a defensive player. Hey, I've been hard on Karl Anthony Towns forever. I'll say this. I thought Karl Anthony Towns was incredible in that game the other night.
He played really well.
Yeah, the way that he got in the key and was hitting those little hook shots. And like that's the way that team should be built, that if they do play him off the court, you can go and feature Karl Anthony Towns as a post player, and I think it makes him very versatile. And I'll also say this, like sometimes it's situational. Like would Gobert get played off the court if he wasn't playing next to Kat? If they put Jaden McDaniels at the power forward spot and then another long athlete or Naz Reid all the time, I don't know that he'd totally get played off the court if it wasn't for the fact that their rotation has a bunch of big people, and it's really tough to defend multiple perimeter players when you have a bunch of big people.
I will say this about Rudy Gobert. Watch out for that guy in the open court, though. Did you see that move on Friday?
Yeah.
Rudy hit him with that was an Australian step. I don't know what step.
He walked like 8 times. He took like 8 steps.
That was called the Spanish steps, not a Euro step, the Spanish steps.
It was
so
incredible.
One of these days, I got to invite both of you guys over to watch a playoff game with my mom. I enjoy that so much because we're watching that game and he makes that move and she's just like, what the hell? They didn't call it? Well, and so then she does this because she was going from Minnesota. They didn't call that? Well, it happens. It's whatever.
It wasn't even sneaky either. It was just blatantly obvious. Like, oh, y'all missed that one. Rudy is about to enter very rarefied air, though. Ben Wallace and Dikembe Mutombo are the only other guys in the league with four Defensive Player of the Year awards.
You think he's going to win it this year? I think Wemby's going to win it.
That would be amazing.
It would.
That would be absolutely amazing. And it'd be justified.
No shade to Rudy. It's just how great Wemby was.
I just have such a tough time thinking that Rudy Gobert with four Defensive Player of the Year trophies could be a Hall of Famer. I just don't look at Rudy Gobert as a Hall of Famer at all. And maybe that's being too harsh, but I don't know. That's tough. I mean, Ben Wallace is in the Hall of Fame because he has a whole bunch of defensive players and he has a title. But that to me is a tough one.
No, it's actually perfect. If Ben Wallace is in the Hall of Fame, Rudy Gobert can absolutely be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He is going to be in the Hall of Fame because of it. And I don't think Rudy Gobert is a Hall of Famer.
Ben Wallace also is going to is in the Hall of Fame because he's an NBA champion and a two-time finals appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's
Rudy,
why.
Rudy's got more Defensive Player of the Year awards. He was a better offensive player, but he doesn't have that on the resume.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rudy's career not over as I just continue. Go ahead, just press the freaking music. Where is it? I haven't pressed this button in so long. I don't even know where it's at anymore. I was just going to press the button on myself, and I have no clue where it's at.
It is a should I save her? I want to be saved. Should I save her?
Do you know that song, James?
No. No.
Would you like me to tell you the name of it?
Should I be saved?
No.
Or is it much worse than that?
It's much worse, better. Depends on how you look at it. Yeah. You want to piss James off even further?
Oh, yeah. Well, James, I want to make sure he doesn't have anything.
That I can throw?
Just making sure before I say
I can
this.
Fold this laptop and fling it like a...
It might happen. I already feel like James is a little testy. I feel like James is already a little on edge. So I don't think this is going to go well.
So James, hear me out before you throw something at me, because I'm going to tell the whole story.
Thanks, Doc.
So last night, watching Bradley Beal be upset with being subbed out, but he was really upset with the way the game was going, as he clarified today. And he kind of brushed Frank Vogel's hand out the way as he went to the bench. And I just simply tweeted out, I said, trade him to Sac. And I wasn't saying, definitely do it. Just kind of tongue-in-cheek a little bit. But there is some seriousness to it a little bit. And they tried to light me up in the comments. They tried to light me up. They said, that is crazy. Don't ever think of that. Have you seen the contract? How many people said, have you seen his contract? Like, I ain't never seen his contract. So, it was crazy.
That was a very smart-ass reply that you had. No, I have never seen his contract.
So my whole thing was, and it got me to thinking, there are guys that I want before Bradley Beal, but I don't believe that you just simply ignore any thought of acquiring Bradley Beal in a trade. The injuries and the contract may end up giving you the ultimate pause to not do it, but I think it's worth a conversation.
Yeah, it's just so tough because he doesn't play. You know, that's the problem. It's the 60 games, 40 games, 50 games, 53 games. He can't stay healthy. I mean, he's a very, very talented player. The other thing I'd point
out. That's the other thing they told me. They said he's washed.
He's not washed.
They tell me he can't play no more.
He's not washed, but the concern about games played is
that's
valid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest problem. And the other thing I'd point out is he's never won anywhere. I know he was in Washington forever, but he had a decade to figure out ways to get a team deep into the playoffs, to make them matter at all, and he never did. And it didn't matter if he averaged 30 a game or 22 or 25.
Well, this isn't going to come across well, but neither is De'Aaron Fox or Domantas Sabonis.
Well, yeah, but they're also in they still have 5 years to get to that point. Maybe Fox doesn't because he's been Sacramento 7 years now. But I also would say they've got to the playoffs and then the postseason in back-to-back years, whether they're able to build on this, I don't know. I don't know. I it's just so much money, and it's such a gamble. And 2 years from now, like, it won't be so much money. They're like, they're going to be able to get off that final year of him, most likely because of the television deal, which will probably like double or triple the salary cap.
I think Brad will be like 33 when he's owed $57 million, I believe.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's almost 31. Yeah.
Like, he's not, I'm not saying this to advocate for getting him, but he's not as old as even I thought. You know what I mean? Like,
he's,
yeah,
he feels like he's
contract,
been around a really, really long time.
He's 33 years old. That's crazy. Yeah. But the discussion that it got into for me was, you don't want Bradley Beal, that's fine. But I'm like, well, how do you want this team to get better? Because I'm a big believer that if you're saying, not you, but people are saying, well, there ain't no running back this year. Monty's got to go make moves. He's got to get things done. We don't want to hear that this year. All right, that probably requires taking a chance on somebody that has some kind of warts, whether it's contract, whether it's age, whether it's injury history. It, like, people were talking, well, just go get Paul George. First of all, Paul George has warts himself, but that's – Paul George is about to sign a $100 million contract with somebody soon. So I'm thinking of guys like Bradley Beal, like Zach LaVine, if you're in favor of doing that. The other part of that is, I'm not completely against, in general, and adding a smaller piece here or there. I think that won't excite a lot of people, but I think those are the two options, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're in a difficult position because, number one, you don't have, like, true cap space, right? So the Kings had true cap space last year. It's the last time they'll ever have true cap space, and they did what they did with their cap space, and it kind of is what it is, right? So you have the players that you have. Now you got to find ways to improve, and I think if we look at the new CBA and that's kicked in over the last, like, what is it, last year, it's added some elements, especially there's new elements that are being added for this season that are really going to change things and allow the Kings to maybe be players that we didn't think they would be able to be players in. So things like if it's a contract of, like, I think $10 million or less, you can take back up to twice as much of the contract. So what that means is, let's say you have Chris Duarte at $6 million. You can take back a $12 million contract. And you think, well, who's going to give you a $12 million contract for Chris Duarte? And the answer is, well, somebody over the luxury tax or someone over the second tier or the third tier, the aprons of the luxury tax that are at risk of paying, you know, dollar for dollar way more. So we have that way that we can, like, increase and do something different, right? Mm-hmm. Then on top of that, the mid-level exception, all of your exceptions starting this year can be used in trades. And so that's something that was not the case in the past. So, again, you could go, like, just for sake of, like, throwing out a player name, right? So, like, Jared Vanderbilt, who the Kings have been interested in before. They almost got Jared Vanderbilt when he was with the Utah Jazz, right? He's a guy who's making, what is it, like, $10-11 million a year. You could trade for him for nothing, give up, and absorb him into your mid-level exception now. So you can actually make that as a play, which is something that would be way different. But, you know, here we have a player who is on the hook for 10.7 next year, 11.5, 12.4, 13.3. And he didn't play that much with the Lakers this year. And with their salary cap, you know, situation, maybe it would behoove them to clear out a guy who's making $10 or $11 million and go use that for something else. And with the added thing now that you have the mid-level exception that you can do that with, or, again, you find a $4 or $5 million player that fits into the biannual exception, you can go trade for that player without giving anything back and absorb a player into your contract, into your salary. So there are mechanisms for the Kings to get better. It's not just that they have to go out on the free agent market, use their MLE to find somebody that might take that money. Now there's other ways to use these mechanisms, mm-hmm, that are super advantageous to a team like the Kings, who are under the luxury tax, that are under the apron, and can go and add talent in different ways.
But the question is, who's that talent?
I was just gonna say, like, and Jared Vanderbilt is, I know you're just throwing out a name, but like, I'm talking about, are people okay with the move being a Chris Duarte-like move?
You know, it's just kind of like Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it's just kind of this middling guy that you hope fits perfectly, but is really just this role player. And I don't think people, unless they're changing their tune now, I don't think they want that. They
Who's
want
the 25 to 30 minute a game guy that you want the Kings to go get? That's realistic. Like, that's what it boils down to. Like, who is that individual that you think can help Sacramento? And that's when you name off names and you go, yeah, Paul George probably isn't applicable. There's a million things that would have to happen for the Sacramento Kings to get Paul George. Okay, what's next? You could name off name after name, and it's not until you get to someone like Zach LaVine or Bradley right. Beal where it becomes realistic.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, you don't want that. All right. Mm-hmm. Now we're off to the Jared Vanderbilts and the Malcolm Brogdons. Mm-hmm. That's where we are.
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying, but I'd also say, like, I think Malcolm Brogdon, I've said this before, is a better player than just, like, a throw-in guy to, like he could be a starter on your team or he could be an elite six man. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a very good player. It's just about going out and finding the right situation, because it's not always about what you have and what they have and all that. A lot of times it's about, how can I help another team relieve themselves of a whole bunch of cap mm-hmm. space? Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, like, you also have mechanisms in place now that if you're dealing with this mid-range of players, like 10 to like $25 million player, you can go $10 million over the cap in a trade. So it used to be like the 20% or 25% within that range. Now it's full $10 million. So let's say a guy like Kevin Huerter at $18 million, you can trade Kevin Huerter for a $28 million player. Mm. And then you can aggregate players doing the same thing. So all of a sudden we start throwing in other pieces and you can go much higher without giving up a whole bunch. And you can save somebody else a whole lot of money mm-hmm. in salary cap space. So I don't know that, like, we know the perfect deal that's out there. I don't know that they're, you know, again, a team like New Orleans is not going to give up their young players that are studs. They're just not. But would they consider giving up a Brandon Ingram so Murphy can step in and be their primary guy? Maybe they will. Mm-hmm. And then that's about, like, how do I get them in a better financial situation, number one, which taking on Brandon Ingram and his $30+ million salary and giving them back maybe $23 million in salary and bring them up a bunch of money. But then it comes down to, like, draft capital. Like, what can I give them to help them, like, ease this transition? And I think that there might be deals out there. So I'm not saying that you got to play in this pool that's bloated contracts of guys who used to be great scorers that may or may not be able to hold up. Mm-hmm. It can be a totally different lane of, you know, player that just fits you better and that a team has to clear out some space because, you know, they're facing losing Valanciunas and other players because their salary is going up and mm-hmm. they've got other young players that can play that position. So you got to be ready to strike whenever these things pop up. But you also have to have the assets and the flexibility to do that. And I still do think the Kings have assets and flexibility. It's not always just purely about the talent that you're giving up. It's about, you know, how much money you can save a team. It's about how much draft capital you can give them. There's a lot of other mechanisms that are in place that people are looking for when they're trying to find a trade partner.
Yeah, for sure. And the one thing that I look at with all this and building, trying to build a roster at least or something like that, is how can we be, to a certain degree, scavengers on the team? And that's why I look at Phoenix, because Phoenix, they got money issues. They've got
they don't have
draft capital issues.
Like, yeah.
Like, they've got a lot of issues. And if you could take one of those guys off their hands, money-wise, chemistry-wise, basketball fit-wise, you know, they may be right for the pick. And especially after back-to-back – well, Bradley Beal wasn't there last year. But, you know, they got beat up by Denver last year. They get bounced, swept in the first round this year. They may be looking to take – and I use Bradley Beal just as an example, like, yeah, we know it's not Brad's fault, but if we can get off his contract and get a pick that we control, because we don't control no picks for like 6 years, like maybe we have to look into that. And that's just you look for opportunistic situations, I think. And Bradley Beal's just an example. He's not like for sure that's what you go. But even New Orleans, you talk about with Brandon Ingram, I'd make that deal in a heartbeat. The wart with him, though, is there is an injury history thing, and he's on the last year of his deal. So he could end up being a rental for you if you're not able to re-sign him. So I think a lot of these guys.
What did you say you do that for?
Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of these guys that you know, try to target, they all got something that keeps you from saying, nah, he's perfect. Like, there's always just this little something there, injury, contract, you know, fit, idealistic fit or whatever, that makes you say, it's not perfect, but I'm willing to take a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get what you're saying, and that's every deal is going to have its pluses and minuses, or someone wouldn't trade them. Like, if it's a perfect player, they're not trading them, right? But they're also, it becomes situational so often, and like what is happening with the franchise, where are they going, where do they tap out, and like they're not progressing. And I think some, like, again, you talk about Bradley Beal. I mean, you don't think that Kevin Durant's going to potentially ask to be traded yet again this summer? And then here we go again.
Yeah.
Like
in that case, come on home,
come
KD.
On, man.
Yeah.
They did. They did talk. I think Winhorst did have a clip talking about he's extension eligible, and what happens with that tells you a lot. He believes what happens with that is going to tell you what Phoenix thinks of KD.
Hmm.
So yeah, I think it's like there's so many variables that we don't know at this point, and we always want to jump in and, like, you know, it's part of sports talk radio. Like we want to, but there are so many options out there that we have no idea that are happening or not happening. Yeah. And there are players that have already told their front office, hey, look, you know, we wouldn't mind going somewhere else. You know, you talk about Paul George, like Paul George has a player option. He can opt in and then get traded. Mm-hmm. And then once he's yours, you can work an extension if that's the way it works. Like, what you wouldn't want to do is an extend and trade, because in that, like, there's ways in which you get hard capped and all that stuff. But, like, maybe there is a way for you to go get a player like that. And then once you have him in your building, you work out a 3-year extension or something and you make him happy. Mm-hmm. But you got to be right if that's what you're doing, because number one, you're going to have to give up a bunch to get him. Mm-hmm. But then number two, like, he can't, if he's going to play 50 games a year or 60 games a year, he's got to be good enough to, like, put you over the top, to put you in some sort of discussion. And so it's got to be the right player in the right time. And like, maybe the Kings can find that partner, or maybe they can't. That's always going to be the question mark. Can you find the right partner?
All right, we'll come back because we're going to ask James Hamm the tough questions here. That's what we do. Tough questions, James Hamm. Man. We'll talk more Kings basketball, look more at this upcoming offseason, or the offseason that is here, and speculate on who can make a difference for your Sacramento Kings when D'Lo and Casey return here with James Hamm on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento's sports leader, ESPN 1320.
All right, James was looking up names during the commercial break. I think we might have something here.
I could be wrong.
James could have been doing something.
What I'm talking
James
about.
James could have been working on his fantasy football draft. I could be completely off on this.
That's months from now.
Okay. You don't win championships by preparing days in advance.
Yeah, like if I'm looking around the league and I see teams that are like dysfunctional and falling apart right now, mm-hmm. I'm like top of my list is the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm wondering how I can get Bobby Portis out of there. Like, I don't know that Bobby Portis is the end-all, be-all, but, like, if I bring up Jared Vanderbilt, like, Bobby Portis is just, like, the much better version of Jared Vanderbilt. He's the refined, like, shot 41% or 40% from three. He plays great defense. He's a shot blocker. He's kind of, like, the perfect guy to put alongside Domantas Sabonis. That and the personality. Like he won't take anything from anybody. So again, I don't know that these teams out there that I don't know that they're looking to take a step backwards, but maybe they're looking to take a different step and are looking for something that can help them. That's not what they're already doing. That's a guy that I would circle. He's 29 years old. He's under contract for, I don't know, another 2 years. Like it's actually reasonable, like 12, 13 million bucks a year. 12.5 next year, 13.5 the year after that, and that last year is a player option. But again, he comes with his Larry Bird rights, and you might be able to lock him up. Mm-hmm. That's the guy I'd put it as my starting power forward alongside Domantas Sabonis for the next 5 years and think that I'm going to get pretty far in the playoffs.
I like that. I like Bobby Portis. I like what he brings to the table.
Yeah, so I don't think you have to go get a Brad Bill or a Zach LaVine. Like, again, I don't think that the Kings have bad players. I think that they have a bad mix of players, and not all of it is a bad mix. I think that they need to switch out one or two for a different version of what they have, and that will cost something. You know, it will, like, whether you have to give up first round picks or whatever you got to do to get that player. But that to me, it's kind of like the defensive minded version of what the Kings did when they went and got Kevin Huerter. You're going out and you're getting a top six of your rotation, maybe a starter for you, not a starter for them type player that makes a ton of sense. And I don't know if Milwaukee's ever going to trade him, but I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe, you know, you look at what happened last night in that game where he gets thrown out 7 minutes into a game that you could not afford to lose him at all.
Yeah.
And maybe you're like, look, we've had enough of this. And, you know, the Kings need that type of fiery dude to change things around a little bit.
Yeah, I like Bobby Portis. That's a good call.
I do too. I like Bobby Portis. That's a good name.
What were you thinking?
He just got thrown out of a game in which his team desperately needed him.
Yep.
You know what that is? That's a very un-James Ham selection right there. I figured James B. can't trust a guy like that. Can't trust him. Bobby Portis is a hell of a player. I see why he fits. Or why he could fit. It doesn't.
Does it excite people?
Well, I don't care if it excites people. If it excites Monty and Mike, I'm all for that. Like that works.
It gets me hyped up. I like Bobby.
I'm trying to figure out though, if you're pinpointing the things wrong in Milwaukee, do you start there though?
Well, my thought would be
like what?
No, but that might be your only move, or one of your only moves if you're Milwaukee.
If you're Milwaukee,
yeah. Unless you're ready to, you know, hit that red button and get rid of Andor Dame, which you can't do.
That.
So like you're looking at Milwaukee. If you're Milwaukee, you're looking at it like, well, man, how do we get better? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we?
But you just
improve?
Lost Drew. Can you afford to lose Bobby Portis? I don't need to. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to like dissect this too far, but I'm thinking about this from a Buck standpoint. And what are you going to do? Add Kevin Huerter?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think, and that's.
Again, I like the name. I'm just like in this again, this goes to the conversation we were about going down a list of names before you stop at someone and go, you know, this might work. Mm-hmm. Bobby Portis, I can't figure out why the Bucks would be like, yeah, that's let's add Kevin Huerter or Harrison Barnes.
And I also think when you talk about Kevin Huerter
or even a
pick and Harrison, I think they need to improve on the defensive end.
Yeah.
They don't play any defense, so they may not be looking for those guys. The guy that I was trying to keep out of all of this, because, you know, I definitely want him to stay here, but even in a Phoenix trade, I think they'd be looking for this guy, and Milwaukee may be looking
exactly
at this guy.
Exactly where you're going.
It's Davion.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
Who are you thinking?
I thought you were going to say Trey.
Hmm? They might look for Trey, too. But Phoenix needs a point guard.
Mm.
And
yeah, they do.
If you were dealing with them, they probably want
some interesting reports about that today too.
Mm. Wow, well, a lot of interesting.
Frank Vogel wanted a point guard, and the team said no. And
hey,
there you have
it. Crazy.
Like, that's why they signed
hours.
Isaiah. Yeah. Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, what's going on there? It's wild. Like the exit strategy that's
they're
going
all,
on there.
They're all just bickering at each other through Shams.
Ooh. Yeah,
or different reporters,
and I also think Davion, I think the Bucks would be looking for not necessarily a point guard because you have Dame there, but defense on the perimeter, you know. And they tried it with Pat Bev, but Pat Bev just isn't that type of player anymore. And I don't know, maybe they'd be. And I'm trying to keep Davion out of any of these deals because I definitely want him to stay, but you might have to give up something to get one of those guys that you're looking for, even if it is like a Portis or something like that. Or Brooke Lopez might be somebody that they may look to move as well, even though he just signed a new contract, didn't he? Yeah, he signed a contract this past offseason.
Yeah, this past one.
Yeah.
What do they – oh, yeah, he's owed $23 million next year.
It's a little too rich for my blood for Brooke Lopez.
Yeah, well
– at this point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you have to do is you have to get creative, and there are ways that you can maybe, like, again, help somebody else reset who they are. They're at $184 million dedicated salary for next season. So, I mean, they're not in a good spot. They're also not in, like, the worst spot ever. Clearly, like, a luxury tax team, but are they, like, is it worse than that? And can you do something crazy? I mean, you could take Lopez and Bobby Portis in like a complicated deal, and relieve them of like, I don't know, $25 million in luxury cap space, or in salary cap. So I mean, there are ways to like work this, or at least like $18 to $20 million in salary. So I think that the Kings are going to be creative, and they're going to be creative with a lot of the new mechanisms that are in place. And, you know, again, you take a $6 million player that you can take $12 million back, and another $6 million you can take $12 million back, and now you can trade out $12 million bucks and take a $24 million player back, and then you can even get more complicated in the same deal and take back a mid-level exception at $12.8 million bucks. So you could clear the books off of somebody's salary cap, you know, basically give out $12 million bucks and take back up to like $34 million. So you could help somebody, and then you're going to have to figure out your salary cap situation moving forward. But you certainly, if you were going all in on something, maybe it makes sense.
Yeah.
I'll ask you the question, James, that Jay Gaydon asked us last night on Sports Sunday. If you had to pick one Kings player that you could say, they're not going to be back here next year, who would it be?
I don't know. Like, because you want to say Kevin or you want to say Harrison, but like at the end of the day, I just don't think that that's fully the case. Like, I mean, like the easiest one, JaVale won't be back. Like that to me is like super simple. And to be honest, I wouldn't doubt that Alex Len is back. Like one of the last acts that you do once you've filled up all your salary cap, you can sign Alex Len to a 1 or 2 year deal at the league minimum and keep Alex Len as like a break in case of emergency guy for the next couple of years. He's still young enough to do that, and he still provides a service. So there was one player, I would say that. And then as we go down the list, I would say like Chris Duarte might be on that list, not too far down. You know, whether or not you can find a trade that makes sense for you with Kevin Huerter. Keep in mind, like, it doesn't have to be, you know, both Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes have to go. It could be Kevin Huerter or Harrison Barnes. And you, if you say you move Harrison Barnes, then all of a sudden you've got a bunch of extra minutes at the small forward spot. And Kevin Huerter could eat some of those minutes and do a small ball three as or a three. A three guard set, like he's 6'7", he easily could play that position as well, and you'd still have the shooting. You know, like you might not have a great defender, but what if you had him alongside Keon Ellis for minutes? And what if you make one of these trades we're talking about, where maybe you got like a Bobby Portis or you got like a Jared Vanderbilt that could sort of disguise some of the deficiencies of Huerter in the post? And now, next thing you know, you've sort of revamped a second unit in a different way. Like, there are all kinds of ways to build this thing out. And that's where, like, this is a really complex puzzle. And the Kings have to, like, be really smart about it. But also, like, think about it intelligently. Like, how do we get better without taking a huge step back? How do we take this stride without having to go get a, like, Pascal Siakam? Can we get more production out of two players that we add than we would out of like one gigantic player like a Siakam, you know? And it's possible you can. Yeah. You just have to, it's got to be the right players. It's got to be the right fit. And sometimes you're going to dash in a little bit of personality and maybe not with the other player. Like it's so complex. And then on top of all that, do you have Malik Monk or do you not have Malik Monk?
Yes. Always a link.
And that's going to be the, like a whole nother set of like parameters. Like you have to walk into this, with this into this offseason with like almost not like a whiteboard of ideas, but like six different whiteboards. And like, if this happens, we need this to happen. If this happens, we've got to do this. And like,
I think that's an app.
Yeah. There's an app for that.
If this, then that. Yeah. That's what it's called.
Yeah. So complex.
Do you,
it is. Sorry to interrupt. And we didn't get a chance to talk about this because on TV, it's kind of like, say what you have to say and then shut the hell up. But the Malik Monk situation is really interesting as it pertains to the Kevin Huerter situation, in the sense of, I feel like Mike has been over Kevin Huerter since training camp, and just his actions show me enough to say that Kevin is not exactly what he's looking for as a player. But how much does that change if Malik Monk is in fact not here? And I'd go a step further for all those people who don't want Kevin Huerter here anymore, who don't think that he works with the team or whatever your feelings may be on him as a player. Can you afford to not have him if Malik Monk isn't back here? So to James's point, like, it does feel like Malik is the ultimate domino to everything. Like, you might not be able to fully construct this roster until you know whether Malik Monk is back here.
No, I would agree. I think you're going to want to know pretty early what's happening with him,
yeah.
Like whether he's going to be back or not. And like, look, I would even say,
but you also have to let him do his thing.
Yeah, no, yeah. You do. But I would even say, like, though,
hey Kevin, or hey Malik, if you want us to be better, you know, the sooner you can answer.
No, it's true, but I would look around the league and say, like, how do I improve these positions, whether I have Malik or not? Because at the end of the day, you have to walk into this offseason with that thought process.
Yeah.
And, like, look, if Kevin Huerter's back, how do I support Kevin Huerter the right way? And can I support Kevin Huerter the right way and Domantas Sabonis the right way? Or is it one or the other? Like, do I have to move off of a Kevin Huerter because I can't do this, and this? I can't have these two guys playing defense together. Or, so, you know what I mean? You almost have to, like, it's such a complex game of how do I surround each player with the right type of player next to them? And it doesn't always work, you know, sort of, what is it, the Venn graph where you have the two circles and where they interlock in the middle. How do I find that perfect ground for everybody? That's not going to work with a 15-man roster. But if you can get it to work for like six or seven guys, then you might be able to find a formula that works where, again, I don't think you need to ever look at a different player than Domantas Sabonis at center. But I do think you need to look at a different player at power forward. I need somebody who can block shots. I need somebody that can support Domantas Sabonis and make him a better player. So that's where I bring up Bobby Portis. Like, I don't need Domantas Sabonis to be a guy who shoves somebody to the ground and yells at him. That's, you need somebody that can do that, though.
You need your goon. You need your goon.
You do, but you also need that goon maybe to be able to hit a three-point shot.
Absolutely.
And to rebound and to block some shots.
Yeah.
And now we start getting to this complex question, like, how do I get that? What's the right player? And say, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. is probably, like, in a weird world, like, maybe, like, one of the perfect players to put alongside Domantas Sabonis on paper. But I'll tell you what, I would take Bobby Portis over him in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm getting the personality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a guy who understands a role. I'm getting a guy who's a better rebounder. And sure, he's older. He's 29. But at the... I don't have to have that one elite guy who's also young and not quite sure who he is yet and thinks he can hoist threes all the time. So it's a really complex puzzle, like, how are you going to build it and how do you build something that's sustainable? You can't just go all in with old players. You can't go all in with young players. You're already in the middle. So how do I support that group the right way, but also all of them? We talked about it before. You can't have another season where it's Harrison Barnes, Sasha Vezenkov, Trey Lyles, and Keegan Murray as your four forwards going into the season, because that's not fair to any of them. They don't support each other in the right way. So how do you find one or two swap outs that make that group work better together? And that's where I think Monty has to live in this offseason.
Real quick, because you said a lot and said pretty much everything. Something came to my attention that I think both of you guys, like, we're nerds about this thing that you guys all appreciate and have something quick before we get out of here on. Something came across my computer about 20 minutes ago. NBA, just NBA-wise. NBC prepares roughly a $2.5 billion a year offer to steal NBA rights away from TNT. That's from the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
And they said NBC Universal is bidding on what would include playoff and regular season games, would appear on NBC Network, as well as Peacock streaming service. NBC has discussed carrying two primetime games a week, something Warner can't offer because it doesn't own its broadcast network. For reference, Turner and Warner or whatever is doing like 1.2 annually right now, 1.2 billion annually.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're the third, too. Just so you know, Amazon is already in,
mm-hmm.
and ESPN /ABC is already in.
They said ESPN is at 1.5 right now. They're going to up theirs to about 2.6 billion annually.
Okay, so, and you know what the annual contract is now overall? The revenue split is 2.6 billion total per year over the last 9 years. Mm. So you just told me right there that one of those companies is going to cover that. The next company is going to double that.
And we don't even have the Amazon.
And we don't have the Amazon money. So it's going to take the salary cap from where it is right now. And
Timofey Mozgov is super hyped.
Well,
Bradley Beal's deal will be nothing.
No, more than that, it's Domantas Sabonis' deal that's going to turn out to be like an 18% of the salary cap deal that everyone's going to be like, okay, you did all right there, because De'Aaron's not going to make Brown money now.
De'Aaron's going to make like $80 million a year.
He is. Yeah. Well, if he takes a step, he's got to make sure that that's who he is. But if he takes that step, we are talking about like an $80 million a year player, and that's wild. If you can get to 35% of the salary cap, man. When salary cap goes up by that much,
man.
What do we figure?
When does Odyssey salary cap go up like that?
Yeah, what up with that?
You tell us. I'm stuck.
Hey, take that hoodie off real quick. Dude over here. This dude.
But no, I saw that.
No, that's the first. That's, I think that's the first time we've seen a number attached to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said NBC wants it bad.
That's big time. Clearly. Yeah.
Well, if they want it bad, what is TNT offering?
Well, that's the thing. And they're saying TNT can't offer.
I was going to say
what NBC can offer.
We read last week with the Amazon offer is that they were going to put together. The belief was NBC was going to attempt to put together a deal that TNT absolutely could not match. Mm-hmm. And what would that pertain? The weird thing is Warner Brothers not owning the network.
Yeah,
who the hell owns
that.
It?
I didn't know that, but yeah, that's what they said.
So is it still
what I'm looking at right now?
Is it still
looking at my calculator?
Time Warner?
Warner
Brothers Discovery.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand that one either. That caught me off guard too. They said, but they were saying like, what NBC,
can you read that line again?
So it says the package NBC Universal is bidding on would include playoff and regular season games that would appear on NBC Network as well as Peacock streaming service. NBC has discussed carrying two primetime games a week, something Warner can't offer because it doesn't own a broadcast network.
A broadcast network.
So
Channel
like
3,
regular,
ABC, CBS. I'm
not
sorry.
A cable network.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, they're talking
so,
about
yeah, that,
one of the
I
main channels.
That, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Mm. Got it. So
being
because
able to put NBC
Warner Brothers,
on there.
Yeah, Warner Brothers is TNT, TBS, True TV, all of those, you know, four, five, six, seven different cable networks versus, yeah, I'm sorry, the broadcast network, NBC. Got it. Okay.
That makes sense. No,
so now you're on two broadcast channels with NBC and ABC.
Yeah.
Whew. Man,
I think NBC gonna get these boys.
Man. Adam, about that. This is yo. All kidding aside, this is Adam Silver's legacy,
yeah,
right?
Man.
This moment right here is Adam Silver's legacy for the league.
He got both of these deals up a billion plus annually. He got the people who already have your ESPN, ABC. They said here's just another billion and a half.
Can't lose it. Yeah, can't lose it.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're looking at right now the 30 teams are taking in roughly. Like $81 million a year on the national television deal.
What's that going on?
Now we're looking at like the potential for them to take in like $240 million a year. And of that, half of it is basketball related. Half of it has to go straight to the players.
Mm.
So, yeah, we're talking a lot of money.
Mm. So we kind of bring this around before we get out of here, but like we joke about it a little bit, but a Bradley Beal, a Zach LaVine, a Jeremy Grant. The contracts.
Let's aim higher. Can we get Steph Curry here?
It's in 2 years, though, right?
The contracts don't look the same as they do today because literally cap
all be
goes
different.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I say Timofey Mozgov and players like him, they're like, hey, someone's going to – Amari Stoudemire. Ask Amari Stoudemire about a team being left out.
Does this coincide with Reese being eligible for the NBA? Yeah. I mean, to hell with school. We're working
every day
on the jump shot.
All day long.
Well, if
him
Dad
out.
Would get off the gun that you paid $30,000 for, he might be able to get his shots up.
$30,000.
I don't. Maybe it was $10,000. I don't remember.
Neither.
I don't remember. There are pictures all over social media about how much that cost. But I think in 2 years he'll only be what, 13?
Yeah.
I think that's a little again.
Just missed it.
Just missed it. But who knows how high the cap? Well, if this is a decade long deal,
true.
So
he'll be ready for the next one. Oh yeah,
he'll be. Let's see. Yeah. This is 3 years and then 5 years. He could conceivably be coming off of his rookie deal when the new CBA is ready to be negotiated. The new television deal, I should say. Is ready to be negotiated.
Put that pen and paper down to hell with homework. We've got basketball to work on.
I do not encourage that. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. David. It was $12,000. That's how
it
much.
It was not. No, it wasn't any of this.
Or was that the cost of the T-shirt Casey had on today?
Oh my God, these people just be lying.
Dr. David, look that up for me.
They just be lying on me. Hey, Joe, Celtics, Nuggets, and Pelicans today.
Okay, Joe, what do we got today? Are we done? No? Joe's
Yeah.
Oh, we're over?
Oh, I make the call.
No, what time is the show over? Did no one explain that part?
No one.
That's fine.
Nope.
I got you.
Am I making the call?
Nope. I got you. I'll get us out right here. I love you, Joe. What are your picks for tonight?
I got Celtics, Nuggets ended, and the Pelicans ended.
Nuggets, yeah. Okay, there's going to be a lot of LeBron James talk tonight, boy.
Oh, boy. We'll
a lot. Shout out Kerry Champion. A lot of LeBron James talk. We'll cover it all tomorrow. Trista Crick, Jason Jones as well. Make sure you're tapped in with the insiders beginning at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, gigantes.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.